This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
I have often dreamed of a HeadGum place where two coy Jews will be waiting for me, where the crowds will roar when they read it live, and a voice keeps saying, "I will seize the cheese. I am on my way. I will send my emails. I don't care how long. I will send them all. I know every line will be worth my time. I will send most anything to have these Jews respond."
Shout out to Drew.
Whoa.
Shout out to Drew indeed.
He snuck that in there. And I have to keep it in.
Because that song was awesome.
That was Hunter Gobble.
Gobble.
On Twitter, making that Go the Distance Hercules parody for us.
We talked about that song before on the show.
Oh, right? Really? We must have, because why would you think to do a Hercules parody?
Yeah, I don't know where the hell we talked about it, but I love that song.
It's funny, Disney had this heyday of like 101 Dalmatians, Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Lion King, and then they did like a bunch of stuff that I don't really remember, like Mulan and Hercules.
I remember Hercules real well.
Oh, really?
Mulan, I don't know if I do.
I wonder if it's just our age at the time, like you just remember the ones that happened when you were 10.
Yeah, and I had little siblings, so I remember some after that. That's why I remember.
What's after Hercules?
Well, I know that, like, I remember Hercules and Quasimodo.
Oh, which, Hunchback, yeah.
Yeah, which I don't think, like, that's probably after your time.
Yeah, but I remember watching Hunchback. Hercules, I vaguely remember. Was David Spade in Hercules, or am I making that up?
I think he was in The Emperor's New Groove.
Was that a Disney original song?
That was not a Disney movie, I don't think.
Well, we don't know enough to talk about anything. Welcome to If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet, hosted by two morons. I'm Amir.
I'm Jake, and I'm smart. So easy does it with the insults, fucker.
I was just being a little self-deprecating. It shows the crowd that we're willing to rib ourselves so that we can rib other people.
Yep, and I can be self-deprecating, yep. But not to my detriment, fucker.
Well, you can dish it out, you can take it in, and it's fine because you don't, you're confident
I don't give
in yourself.
A shit. Because
you have good self-esteem.
But if you call me dumb over time, I'm going to put my foot through your ass. Fucker.
By the way, you said you can be self-deprecating, but not to your detriment.
Yes.
So you could put yourself down as long as it doesn't work. Say a weakness about you. What's your biggest flaw?
My abs are too big.
No, that's not a flaw.
I should be a size 31 waist, but 32 because I have big abs.
No. Say an actual, what's something that's not good about you?
I had bad eyesight, but I have LASIK, so it's better than perfect.
Okay, what's another thing that's
good? I had bad eyesight for a while. That I had bad eyesight for a little while.
Right now, what do you consider your biggest flaw?
My foot is sweaty. My right foot's a little sweaty. And it feels like maybe my sock is riding down a touch.
Yeah. That's what you
but
consider
I can
your
fix
biggest
that
flaw.
Very quickly.
What about the fact that you have thin skin?
No.
Yeah.
You.
That's right. What about the fact that
back you're, off.
You're overly
sensitive? Back. I am not overly sensitive. I am not overly that. Sensitive. And if you.
Oh, sorry. My God.
Back it off.
Loser.
I know.
You're back from your many, many travels. We're recording this the day after Labor Day, Tuesday, September 4th.
Yes.
I'll upload this right away. So this is as close as we can get to live, a live podcast.
Basically live.
To prove it, let's just talk about things that went on today.
Senate hearing for Brett Kavanaugh.
Classic. So you know we're not lying.
Yeah. Juan Martín del Potro is playing John Isner in the round of 16.
That's right. We couldn't make that up.
I'll check the score now.
Just to date ourselves down to a specific
hour. Partly so you guys know how up-to-date this is, but then also...
Because you're curious.
I'm a tad curious, to be frank.
And this is about... This is research for your tennis podcast.
Wow. Del Potro just took the third set. Now he's up a break.
Let's just give live fucking commentary.
It's over for Isner.
Isner doesn't do it.
Isner more is like isn't.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, it's fine actually.
Thank you.
So why don't we get to some questions and answers? Last week was yours and Jill's wedding story, which took the internet by storm.
That's right. And it took us by storm.
If you haven't, very good. If you haven't listened to it yet, please, for the love of God, listen to what happened during Jake's wedding weekend. It's entertainment through the roof. I got so many texts and phone calls about it. They loved hearing the story from people who were there to people who were not.
We should have another wedding.
What?
I'll have another wedding for another story. And better weather.
Sounds like you just want another wedding anyway.
Hmm.
Yeah. All right. This is a question we got about... D&D. You're still doing the D&D?
Yeah. I'm
still just because you're traveling doesn't mean you're stopping it.
Actually, I got a show next week in Seattle.
A live podcast.
Band of Boobs' first ever live show. I think it's sold out, but there might be standing room tickets left if you feel like standing for 2 hours while I play D&D.
I love that. So let's call this guy. What's a D&D name?
That's not me.
Sure, that's not you.
Let's go with Apple Scrumper, this week's special guest, played by Siobhan Thompson.
Ooh, Apple Scrumper writes, I've written to you many a time, but I assure you this is the time I need you the most. I've been playing Dungeons & Dragons for about a year now, and my girlfriend plays with me. She and I are going great, and I can't really think of any problems that we have, except I really want to have sex with her while she speaks as her D&D character. I don't know what it is, but I find her really hot when she talks as her character. She plays a goblin. Feel free to redact that to protect my anonymity.
Too late, brother.
Wizard. And goblin speaks wizard. With a thick Brooklyn accent, which just turns me on for some reason. Should I bring this up with her? Should I have sex with her as a D&D character? I'm too embarrassed. I don't know what to do. Thanks and kind regards. Apple.
Dude. First of all, roll for horniness.
What?
That's something we do on the podcast.
When we're hot and bothered.
Roll the D20 and see how horny you are. Sounds like you just rolled a 20.
And if you roll a 6 and a 9, things are looking up.
Very good. You should be on the podcast.
Really?
I mean, I don't think this is a problem at all. This is so hot.
You think she'd be into it?
Yes, of course. You're like, her creativity turns you on. That's ideal.
You consummated your marriage as Hard One. That's very apropos.
Jill
this
still
question.
Thinks she's married to Hard One Surefoot. I got news for her.
What?
I am a thin little ankled boy.
I'm sorry to tell you.
I've got two broken feet. Yeah. And tiny little calves.
Would you ever do the role play thing to such an extent?
Role play doesn't turn me on at all. It like takes me out of sex.
Because it's like an improv game.
Yeah. I start to be like hyper aware of like somebody acting and doing a bit. Yeah, and it like makes me uncomfortable for them.
Oh, that's, yeah. Like this is, what if it's slightly unfunny and now I'm performing?
Like, yeah. What if they like even like stutter or don't know exactly like the terminology for like say being a camp counselor or something? Like, I don't know. It's just not that hot to me. Like, sex is really hot.
Yeah, just be yourself.
Yeah, just like wanting each other is good enough for me.
You don't also have to... What would it sound like if Hard One was having sex with, say, I don't know, an elf or some shit?
Hard One would be like, yeah, yeah.
Has he had sex on D&D?
No, Hard One is actually a closet virgin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I heard he has a tiny little shrimp dick.
He doesn't. This is why you're never going to be on the fucking show.
He's got a triple A battery.
Hard One has a hog.
Stop
choking me. I'll show you my Hero Forge miniature.
Jake's stepping on my neck.
He's clearly packing.
Your Hero Forge. Does everybody have that, the little miniature?
No, it's. I think it's like extra nerdy. I'll tell you something that I did that was so insanely nerdy. Even nerdier than ordering my Hero Miniature Forge.
Is this something that's so embarrassing you're afraid to even bring it up on the D&D podcast?
No, I probably would bring it up on the D&D podcast, but this just happened to me today, so okay. I'm going to tell you. So I when I created my character, I went to this thing called Hero Forge, where you sort of like make your avatar, and then they like mail you a miniature of it. Kind of look, it's like a little bit bigger than a Monopoly piece, okay. And it's like it's like creating your own video game character. So you have like all of the traits and attributes, and you really make somebody that looks like who this person is in your head.
Yeah,
they 3D printed mine, and I have like this white plastic hard-won Surefoot. As a wedding present to myself.
Uh-huh. Is that normal?
No.
No.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Makes
people
no
don't
sense.
Do that. Yeah.
But like, you know, weddings are expensive and I got through it. We didn't default or go into credit card debt or anything.
Uh-huh.
So as a little treat.
To you.
To old Jake.
Yeah, from Jake.
From Jake. Nobody else was going to think to get me this. I ordered a new Hero Forge miniature cast in bronze, which is a bit more expensive.
So what was the first one?
It was 3D printed on just like white. It's a white
plastic. And yeah. Then you're like, I'm going to...
The details aren't as sharp.
I'm going to treat myself to a bronze one.
Yeah, because it's been like, you know, a couple dozen episodes of the D&D campaign. I haven't died, but yeah. I've come close. I've had to do some death saving throws, but I've survived. And I feel like... It's time to make me bronze.
And how do the bronze ones happen? Like, how do they print that?
I have no idea. I think they make a mold.
Wow. Is it expensive?
It's not that expensive. It's less than, it's like $40.
Oh, wow. So it seems like it would be too much work to do it by hand for just $40.
Yeah.
It seems like it would take a while.
I mean, yeah, I don't know how it works, but.
Is there one above bronze? Is it like silver and a gold?
You can get a gold one.
A gold one.
Yeah.
That's if you make it to your gold anniversary,
I
brother.
Do think I don't know
25
why.
25 years with hard won gives you a gold.
Why the fuck did I get the gold one?
It is the gold standard. How much is the gold one?
I am not sure now.
Actually, I'm on your registry. Yeah, there's bowls, a couple of dish napkins, and then there's the gold one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's right. A group gift. And I see you removed the honey fund. I guess you're not having a honeymoon.
Yeah, we're not going to do the a gold honeymoon one. Because I got the gold hard one. And I want it a little bit bigger than normal, so they have to make a brand new mold for me.
None of this 6-inch tall bullshit. I want a
mold when they made me.
I want a real life, real sized hard one. How tall is hard one? I assume you know.
6'6". 6'6".
Kobe's height. The goat height. And he looks like Steven Adams.
Uh-huh.
Except shorter than Steven Adams. Really, you should just ask for a Steven Adams bronze.
What's that?
You should just ask for a Steven Adams bronze.
Steven Adams should ask for a hard one Surefoot bronze.
Oh, come on, man. He's not going to do that. He's a professional athlete.
So think, hard one Surefoot.
What is hard one professionally athletic?
He can jump 25 feet because Steven Adams do that.
He can jump 25 feet?
Yeah, in distance, obviously.
So he can jump 25 feet far?
Yeah.
But not 25 feet high?
Of course not.
So 25 feet, still not like a world record. So even in this world of fantasy, he's not jumping as far as, like, say, Michael Powell in the 92 Olympics.
He might be able to jump 35 feet. I have to look at my character sheet, but I think it's 25 feet.
So, but you could have done anything, right? You could have jumped 50 feet.
Hmm?
He could...
No, you in D&D, you have, like, your movement, like, your speed and your jumping distance. But, like, my character, as he's grown, he's taken the path of remarkable athlete. So his, like, speed and jumping increases
getting
as
better.
I level up. Yeah.
So you're getting stronger,
so I
getting
recently
faster.
Leveled up, and now I can jump 10 feet further than I could before.
And this is perfect fodder for sexy talk. In a bedroom, you're having sex. You're hard one. He's saying, give me a break. I'm about to jump 35 feet.
Yeah.
He lands in the living room.
I think this guy should tell his girlfriend that he wants to do it. She'll be happy to oblige, I think.
You think so?
I guess it matters if they like already do kind of like role play stuff, if they ever do, but I don't think there's any harm in asking.
Would you do it for your loved one?
Yeah, I would. It's hard to get past the idea of like, I'd be so out of character for my loved one to say something like that. But yeah,
that's
like,
more of a fantasy than hard won becoming a reality.
If Joe was like, make love to me as hard won Surefoot, I would be like, yes!
Which is the noise his anus makes when he farts. All right, yeah, so how should I bring this up to her is the specific question. You think, hey, if she's into D&D, she's going to be into this role-playing thing. She's already into RPGs. Sex is just the next iteration of that.
Yeah, they probably play with other people, so it wouldn't be like, it'd be kind of cool to like just crawl across your dice and miniatures and be like, and the maps and just be like, have me right here.
That's cool. What do you do with your miniature?
Well, some people play with kind of like maps, and they like move their miniature around to know where they are and like, uh-huh, what they're like facing and who's near them, who to fight.
And the band of boobs, do they also all have miniatures?
No, I just have my miniature sitting beside me as I play for good luck and to remember that I'm the fucking man.
Got it. And the other ones, they don't have the miniatures.
They don't have the miniatures. Don't think they're not nerds, because Emily has a stuffed possum that she sleeps with because her character has a possum. Uh-huh. And Caldwell rolls a d20 every single day before he leaves work to see what kind of day he's going to have.
That just seems more superstitious. You're the only one sitting with a little hard won miniature. Have you ever posted your miniature online? I'd like to see what the miniature looks like.
I'll post the photo of it on my Instagram story after we release this episode, because you better believe I took one this afternoon when it arrived.
Were you excited to open it?
I was thrilled.
Did you tell Jillian?
I've been gone for 10 days. I had stacks of mail. The only thing I opened when I went home was this hard-won Surefoot miniature. It's bronze cast.
It's so small.
I'm holding it with a little hand.
It's 3 fingers tall.
If not a day.
Swallow it.
What are you talking about?
I want you to swallow the fucking miniature.
Eat the miniature. I paid $40 for this.
Give me your fucking miniature.
I should release the plans online in case anybody else wants to make a hard won Surefoot miniature.
Oh, yeah. Can people play as hard won, or is that considered uncouth?
I wouldn't have a problem with it if they did.
Yeah.
It feels like part of the fun of D&D, though, is creating your very own character.
But it's like, it's almost like if they're such a fan of your podcast, it's like, let's just take those characters and create our own adventure with it. It's like fan fiction.
Yeah. And I think I've heard of people that play that listen to the podcast that like have taken certain like scenarios,
and like, put it into
parts
their
of the story that they put into their own game with their own characters.
I didn't know that hard one could die.
Oh, yeah.
That's a possibility?
Oh, yeah, every week. He's very, very close.
And if he died, you would just make a new guy?
I'd have to like sit out the rest of that episode and then roll a new character, start at level one.
It's such a sad idea to imagine you're sitting next to your miniature and you die, and then for the rest of the episode, you're just sort of holding the miniature. You can't talk.
Clutching the bronze hard one, regretting that I ever ordered it.
Maybe I'll be like a freaking spiritual banana or something.
The worst part would be like playing as level one along with like all these other, like my friends who are like level 8 or 9 now. They get like 2 attacks, a lot of spells. They're just really powerful. And then I would just always be like, I can only attack once and I have really low HP. Like, it would just be so sad.
Like, it even though it's like all
playing basketball with like the Lakers. It'd be like if you were playing.
That sounds awesome to me.
Yeah, but like you had your actual skill. So people would be like, oh, Amir sucks. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So even in this world of role playing, you still want to quote unquote win, be strong, be better, be jumping, be faster.
Yes. When my character like levels up and he's like, oh, now he's got 90 hit points instead of like 80. I'm like, oh, yeah. Shit. Now I'm like that much more invincible.
And then do you ever get as happy as you do like when a game winning shot happens? Or you're like, yeah. Or yeah. Is it never like that? An instant burst. It's more like a constant flow of joy.
It's kind of a constant flow of joy, but then like there are times when we make a really good roll.
It's like someone hit a big shot.
Yeah, it feels like a walk-off home run or like
really
a last
that good.
Yeah, huge. Because there's like also character stakes. Like there's an episode where a character who's like our best friend in this series almost died, and the way death saving throws work, you roll a d20. I think it's like 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get below 10, it's a fail.
Yeah.
If you get above 10, it's a pass.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's like first to, like if you get 3 passes, you live. If you get 3 fails, you die.
Wow.
If you roll a 1, it counts as 2 fails.
Oh, I see.
And if you roll a 20, it counts as two passes. Or it might even be as good as, like, you just shoot back up.
So it's like flipping a coin three times if you get tails three times in a row. Like, 1 in 8 chance of dying.
Yeah. And this character had, like, had 2 death-saving fails. Was about to die.
Yeah.
And Murph let me roll the d20 to see if he would survive, because, like, my character had sort of gotten him into this mess in the first place. And I rolled a d20.
Holy shit, which was a 1 in 20 chance.
Yeah. And I got... and I hit, they call it the nat 20.
The what 20?
Natural 20, nat 20.
As opposed to what's an unnatural 20?
I don't know. Oh, like if you add your, you have like modifiers.
Yeah.
So like my strength, this is so, really so far in the lead. But I like that you're interested. You're so close to playing.
Because it's almost like gambling. It's a little bit of math and statistics. So you're luring me in a little bit. I'm like a scared cat that you're trying to get into your house.
The way you create your characters, he's got certain strengths and weaknesses. So like if you are a very strong character, you get to add your strength modifier to like that D20. So if I rolled a 16, but my strength modifier is like +4, then that's a 20.
Got it.
That's not a nat 20, but it's still like a high roll.
Got it.
But death saving throws are just like raw. Just roll the d20. And I rolled a 20, and he lived. And everybody was like breathing heavily afterwards.
So yeah, you better believe you should have sex as hard one.
That roll made me feel like I hit a game-winning 3.
And all you had to do, it kind of feels like craps where like, or roulette where you get a number right.
That's probably closer to what it is than like actually hitting like a game-winning.
Because
like,
it's luck.
Yeah. But it's rolling that, like, what is it in craps? A 7?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's rolling a 7.
All right, so ask your loved one. Maybe they will want to have sex with you in their character.
They odds are should.
It seems likely because they like D&D. Yeah. And as you can tell, if you like D&D, you like S&M.
What?
I tied up Hard One last
night. No, you did not.
And face fucked him until he cried.
He wouldn't fucking allow it. He'd bite your dick off and spit it up your ass.
I don't want to play anymore. All right, let's take a break. We'll answer some more questions after these messages.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right,
you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
And we're back. I talked last week. I started the basketball podcast. First episode is now online. Buckets is online. Episode one with Ben Schwartz.
What day does it release?
I'm going to do it just randomly, whenever I feel like it. So episode one was on a Friday before Labor Day. Episode two is going to be tomorrow with Adam Lustig. And then whenever I can get a guest in here talking sports with me, I'm going to make it happen.
But is it once a week?
Sometimes it'll be twice a week, sometimes three times a week, sometimes no times a week, just whenever basketball happens. Wow. But I want to have a pretty steady stream now before the season starts. Just to bank a few great episodes. Once the season starts, if something exciting happens, I can have an episode.
You're going
to
be doing emergency episode.
Emergency podcast. This guy's
trade
injured.
Happened. This
guy's
upset trade. Happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
So as of now, we have one episode with Ben. And I'm hearing that people who don't necessarily like basketball still like the show, which is a high honor for me. I don't know if that's going to continue that way, but I think if you like me and Ben, I'll put in a little clip at the end of this show of us ranting, rambling about basketball. Maybe you'll like it. You can check out Buckets. Either way, I'd appreciate a subscription, a rate, and or a review.
You know I did all three.
Really?
Yes.
What was your review?
I think I just said, pumped for this podcast or something.
Yeah, I see that. 2 stars. You little piece of shit.
Well, I mean...
did you even listen to the episode?
I listened to a couple minutes of it.
And you said...
I didn't really get it.
I don't like podcasts is all. No, we're up to over 500 reviews.
Damn.
And it helped out our iTunes ranking. So thank you so much for anybody that's listened so far. A new episode coming tomorrow. But as for this, did anything happen in your Labor Day weekend that you wanted to talk about?
Ooh.
You went to Maine.
I did go to Maine.
Was it insane in the Maine? Was it insane in the Maine?
Yeah, I had a really, really lovely time there. We ate dinner at this place called The Lost Kitchen. Have you heard of this place?
You know, I haven't.
It's kind of, so it's like this sort of like a dinner club almost. Jill and her friend Rami are very into that kind of foodie thing.
Oh, the experience, yeah.
So this experience, it's this tiny little restaurant in the middle of Maine in a town called Freedom.
Oh, I see.
Very, very small.
Yeah.
And there's just in this middle of nowhere, there's this amazing farm to table restaurant that takes 42 people a night. And the only way to get a reservation there is to write a postcard starting in March or April.
Oh, that's very hip.
It is so hip. And they got 20,000 postcards when they opened that up.
So it's some sort of college admissions for a restaurant.
It's kind of, it's like a lottery. And Jill's friend got chosen and they tried to do it on the weekend, after our wedding, so we'd be on the East Coast, but it turned out the lady that owns the restaurant got married that same weekend.
That your wedding happened?
The next weekend afterwards, the one we were trying to plan to go.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, we ate there, and it was crazy. It was so good.
Was it, better than, Denny's, even?
It was
almost, how were the eggs?
It was, I guess it was as good as Denny's if you, didn't get the hash browns.
Yeah, so it's, pretty good. The eggs were a little firm,
it's sort
but
of like,
salty.
Have you ever been to Sonic?
Yeah, Sonic.
So it's like Sonic.
So it's like tater tots and greasy cheeseburgers?
Yeah.
And then what was the dessert?
They didn't actually do dessert.
They don't do dessert.
Well, they had dessert, but I was just I'm not that hungry. And right. I was whatever. And yeah. It looks like just like.
I wonder if they give you a mint or something at the end.
I took a mint and a toothpick on the way out.
And the toothpicks were fine.
And I also just grabbed a stranger's umbrella.
Oh, yeah.
Because it wasn't
really
raining. And who was using this anyway?
A little party favor.
I had that.
And then how much did that cost you?
The umbrella was free.
Uh huh.
Are you talking about the dinner
the
itself?
Meal, yeah.
I actually don't know. It was a gift.
Wow.
It was a gift, yeah.
Another gift to yourself.
That was I'm just raking them in.
That sounds pretty chill.
But I also had a piece of unsolicited advice. Because
wait, hold on, let me play the theme song. Let's see here. wait for it. I had to pull it up. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I wasn't prepared for this.
You didn't know that I was going to do this.
Yeah. This is just came out of nowhere.
When I was on the road.
So, Jake, do you have any?
On to Let's Do the Fight! Mom, I'm coming!
Gross. On my trip back, I listened to a playlist that Mike Carnell made for his trip that he just took. He Carnell wrote an Amtrak from L.A. to Seattle, and then from Seattle to Chicago, I think.
Wow.
Stopping in, Glacier National Park. And
train.
Yeah. He took some really great photos, but he also released a playlist, which is something I think other people have been asking him to do since he started just, screenshotting music on his Instagram story.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to listen to all these songs, but I'm not... I don't remember to go into Spotify and, play them.
Right.
So he released a playlist called Amtracks.
Oh,
Amtracks.
That's pretty cool. It's like a mixtape.
Yeah, and it's great. And if you're looking for a new playlist.
And that's a public playlist?
Music, yeah.
Interesting. Could people get famous on Spotify for having good playlists?
I mean,
does he know how many people subscribe or follow to his playlist?
There are numbers for people who subscribe to certain playlists.
That's cool.
I listened to that one Rap Caviar, and there's millions of people that subscribe to it.
He should just slide in a Twinnovation episode as track four.
That's smart.
Yeah.
That's actually really smart.
That's my unsolicited advice.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see if we can answer some more questions, shall we?
Good shit.
This one is about a Disney dilemma. Do you have a Disney name for us?
Hercules.
Oh, it's perfect. Each one leads into the other. I'll cart right to my cheese, writes Hercules. My girlfriend of 2 years decided to participate in the Disney College Program, which is pretty much Disney's way of pulling in college-aged kids to work at their theme parks under the guise of an internship. The jobs they give out aren't even cool. She was assigned the duty of parking lot attendant, though they do provide expensive-as-shit housing, so I guess that's nice. Anyway, she's going to be off in Florida for 4 fucking months. We've never even had any problems, and we've both emphasized that we'd like to stay loyal to each other, even though we're both fairly vanilla people who have been cheated on in the past, so neither of us would think of it. Well, act on it, rather. Still, though, I'm naturally worried. What if she gets bored of our relationship when she's out there? What if she screws some other dude, or worse yet, the Mousy Menace himself?
Mickey.
Have either of you or anyone you know ever been away from a significant other for an extended period of time and stayed together? If so, how did you do it? I know how strongly you discourage long-distance relationships, so I'm curious what you would have to say when there is the prospect of their return after a set time. Toda and Shalom Aleichem. Been listening since y'all, been listening and watching y'all since Monopoly, which is 10 years ago. Thanks. Love, Hercules.
Imagine if she got screwed by Goofy.
That'd be Goofy. That's what it sounds like when fucking Hard One is coming.
No, it's not. No, it's not at all.
Well, just a tall, goofy guy.
No, he's not goofy.
Well, he's just a silly little character.
He has no sense of humor at all.
That doesn't sound good either. He doesn't get jokes because he is a joke.
Remember is it from A March Madness where you call Mickey a little menace?
A mousy little diva bitch.
You're complaining about how Mickey's trying to ruin stuff.
Yeah. Shouldn't he be worried about his girlfriend Mickey fucking Prince Charming, not the guy in the Mickey Mouse costume?
I guess he's more worried about being humiliated, which is a lot of the time what cheating is really about.
Because you have to have the shame of telling people that your girlfriend had sex with a mouse instead of you.
If she had sex with Prince Charming, or Prince Eric, or the Beast from Beauty and the Beast, that'd be easy to understand. But if she fucks Mickey,
that's a tough pill to swallow.
If she fucks fucking Pluto,
wait, there's Goofy and Pluto in the Disney universe, or is this another Daffy Duck Donald Duck situation?
I thought Pluto belonged to Goofy.
No, Pluto was the actual dog that Mickey owned, and then Goofy was another talking character. Who's the most embarrassing person in the Disney sphere for someone to lose their significant other over?
Mm-hmm.
So, I can't be with you anymore. I had sex with Goofy?
Goofy's kind of tall.
Goofy's hot is all.
He's got that big dick energy.
Yeah, who's like a short little shrimp like Dewey?
I mean, maybe Daffy.
Daffy Duck.
Yeah. Because Scrooge is rich. Daffy wears like a dumb little onesie. He has like blue overalls, doesn't he?
Yeah. No. Oh, yes. Daffy Duck. Yeah. No, that's Donald.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Donald Duck wears the blue overalls.
Daffy's Looney Tunes.
Daffy is Looney Tunes. Daffy's the black one. Donald's the white one.
Mm-hmm.
There was Goofy and then there was Pluto. The dog. Yeah. Also, both Disney. But Pluto's a straight-up dog. Maybe that's more embarrassing than Goofy.
Yeah.
What about Winnie the Pooh?
He's not Disney.
Yeah, but he's a character. Wait, isn't he?
No.
He's not at Disneyland?
I don't think so.
I think I'm searching now. It says Winnie the Pooh and Pals at Disney.
Fine.
For whatever reason, Winnie's there.
Okay.
Is that an embarrassing one, or he's kind of gentle and cool? He's like a sensitive
hot
lover.
Pooh's a fucking bear. Piglet, more embarrassing.
I blew Piglet. Do you like that?
I didn't know that Piglet's a dude.
Yeah. Piglet is an asexual, pansexual, supportive little pig friend.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of embarrassing. Who else is there that's bad?
We're not helping this guy's anxiety. Like, what if she cheats on me with Mickey? Like, no. She could cheat on you with all these people, too.
Yeah, there's a whole array of people. And then she can also cheat on you with another parking lot attendant.
She could cheat on you with somebody that just lives in Florida that doesn't work at Disney.
Oh, that'd be really... That's the worst character of all, is guy who's at Disney World.
You guys just need to have a conversation to reaffirm that you're not going to cheat on each other.
Why does there need to be a conversation? Do you have to reaffirm that kind of stuff? Isn't that just sort of the base level rule of a relationship, is I won't fuck anybody else if we're apart for 4 months?
Yeah, but I don't think it's reaffirming it for her. It's not like, hey, if he doesn't remind her not to fuck anybody, she's going to.
Yeah.
She just, it seems like he's got some anxiety, so he needs to be reassured from her that she's not going to.
Yeah, and 4 months when you're like 18 to 22 feels like forever. 4 months. Like, relationships don't last that long. The fact that she's gone for 4 months, that's like a summer and change.
Think about how fast summer used to go by when you were in high school. That shit blew by.
And that's 3 months. Yeah. You still got another month after that. So have you experienced such a distance, a time distance before?
Yeah. Jill and I were long distance for a full year.
But what's the longest you've gone without seeing each other?
Oh, probably never more than like 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh, no. God, no. You wouldn't have survived that.
She would have
4 months.
She would have fucked Mickey. I know that.
And Minnie.
I know.
Some sort of mouse-based orgy.
She told me that.
That's why I flew to where she was.
To stop it from happening.
Which was studying abroad. What about visiting her? It's a 4 month situation. Why don't you come at the 2 month mark, see what she's up to?
Or you could go at the 1 month mark, and then she could visit you at the 3 month mark.
You never want to be in a relationship that is just distance away from cheating on each other. It's like, if only I had 4 months away, I would sleep with somebody else. Or here's a non-good way of dealing with the situation is you cheat on her. That way, if it happens and she like is telling you about it, be like, it's okay, we're even.
Right. That's that trick up your sleeve, the one in the back pocket.
Yeah, you want to keep that ace.
That force field. But I just don't think that's healthy, obviously.
No, that's not a good idea. I was just thinking of, I wanted to give her this person bad options so that he can take a good
one. But, you know, if you guys are, if you're so worried about cheating on, it doesn't sound like he's worried about cheating on her. He's just worried about her cheating on him, which is why I think a conversation will be helpful, because he's like gone down the rabbit hole in his head of like feeling anxious about it.
Here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to be like the guy who's texting like, hey, I haven't heard from you in 90 minutes. Where the hell are you? Right. Are you at work? FaceTime me right now. I need to know where you are. Because that will sort of urge her to maybe consider cheating on you because you're being a crazy person.
And you know, that's your behavior sort of showing the ugly side of your insecurity, which is actually a gentle, nice thing that comes from a place of love that should be nurtured and cared for. But like, if you take that and you say, rather than say like, hey, I'm needy, I'm sorry, can you tell me you're not going to cheat on me? I feel I'm weak right now. I know that, but I need your help. Like, if you don't admit that and instead you're like, you must tell me where you are at all times. You cannot speak with Mickey or with Goofy. You may converse with Pluto, but only if you're secretly FaceTiming me so I can make sure you're not whoring yourself
to Piglet.
Then you're a piece of shit. So like, don't be a piece of shit. Take your insecurity, own it. Be like, I'm a little limp dick loser right now. Help me.
Short and stout. Mm-hmm. All right, let's answer one more question. Since we were a day late, a buck short, I don't want people to feel shortchanged over here. This guy is a 25-year-old who has been single for the first time since age 13. He just...
Jesus.
He seems like a Rudy.
Okay.
Let's call him Rudy. Hey, guys, I'm 25, currently single for the first time since I was 13. The dating world has changed quite a bit since 2006 between Tinder, Bumble, polyamory, etc. So I suppose my question refers
probably
to the...
changed quite a bit since you were... 13. Yeah, like the world's changed.
Yeah, since I was 13. I suppose my question refers to the latter and is somewhat of a moral issue. I'm an American and a supervisor at my job where we employ an ample amount of newly American workers, so I have learned very good Spanish and Korean. There's this beautiful girl from Argentina who flirts with me all day long and is stunningly pretty and has an infectious personality. I really like her, and I think she likes me too. We share a lot of the same interests and goof around all day. Here's the problem. Her wife just transferred to my department 3 weeks ago. She's from Colombia and honestly even hotter, but isn't really that flirty or anything, but her wife is still the same way with me. I'm not delusional and thinking about some grand threesome, no. I would never want to break up a couple because they clearly love each other, so I figured it would just be a cool work flirt. No problem, but here's the wrench. Last week, they mentioned 3 times that they want half-white children. The last time they mentioned it together to me, like directly asked if I would help. So, Jake and the chipmunk, what do I do? Would this be fun and result in multiple encounters? Or would it be bad and I would technically have children? Help! Cheers! I'm a day oneer.
Huh?
This seems like...
the premise for a porn?
This seems like something even maybe you wouldn't have done in your heyday of not giving a fuck.
Yes, I would have.
You would have fucked and given a baby.
Yes. So, if it was for a threesome, I probably would have.
And if it was a one-on-one, fuck me until you impregnate me.
Then no.
You wouldn't have. So it's gone that
too far. I'm pretty responsible
far.
In that regard.
So you wouldn't want to give someone a baby.
I'd only give someone babies if it was for a threesome.
If only we can make it a 4G after 9 months, do I want to have a threesome? That's actually a good compromise for this guy. He's like, I'll give you the baby, but it's got to be both of you. A crazy night, and we don't know who's going to end up pregnant.
We were talking about you being a sperm donor.
And the threesome?
You are absolutely fired from this job.
Kiss me, and we'll call it even.
I guess just be open to... if you're open to it, that's cool, but I wouldn't push in any fashion.
I never heard of 2 women becoming pregnant by the same guy on the same night. It's like almost twins, but not really. You know what I mean?
Isn't pregnancy itself like kind of a rarity? It's like you can in one night impregnate 2 women is...
it's hot.
That's hard one, sure.
But with those people, they would be step siblings, right? Same
not
dad,
step,
different
half.
Mom, half siblings, half twins almost because they're the same exact age.
Yes, but not from the same sperm or the same egg.
It's so got no to twin, have happened.
No twin ever at all.
Yeah.
No twin.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's interesting. That's
it
cool to think about.
What would you do in this situation?
Of
sounds
course
like
I wouldn't
on.
Do it.
I see you're packing heat right now. You are full chub.
It's because you mentioned hard one again. I don't think it's worth having children dealing with that whole thing. You don't know the legality of who owes what after that situation.
Yeah. You get them to sign something. If they're really serious, they're going to give some paperwork.
If they're really serious, they should be paying you, right? Like, it costs money to do that stuff. Like... for a sperm donor of any caliber, I would think. Yes? No?
I don't know.
People get paid for that?
I think so. I mean, the weird thing I think is probably just like, it's not like you would need money, even if they wanted just a sperm donor. It's more just like the idea that this child or children would grow up knowing who their father was, or at least like these women would know who the father was.
It seems
so
like too much
responsibility.
If the kids
were ever like, hey, I want to know who my dad was, they'd be like, well, he's not in the picture. He was a sperm donor or one wild threesome that we had or whatever. And the kid would be like, well, I really want to know. And this guy's like, hey, this wasn't part of the deal. But it sort of inherently is part of the deal.
Does that freak you out? Little Jake's running around or like donating sperm? Would you do that or is it kind
of
weird?
I would do like a blind donation of sperm.
You would do that?
Like, yeah.
You don't care. It doesn't freak you out to have this like half Hurwitz running around somewhere that you don't know about.
No, that wouldn't bother me.
That's awesome, dude.
Thanks, man.
I really
appreciate
that.
But I want it to be blind. I wouldn't want to like have somebody show up and be like,
you want the kid to be blind.
Like, no, I jerked off into a dish.
That sounds like something my dad would say. Papa. That's a movie idea.
I think that is a movie idea.
Big Daddy.
No, that's like there's like a Vince Vaughn movie where he like
was a sperm donor.
Yeah, and he like had 50 kids.
Oh yeah,
or something like that.
It was Fred Claus.
That's right.
What a weird name they gave that premise. All right, that's it. We're out of time. I gotta upload this before the guys with the pitchforks get all the way to our office demanding content.
Oh, yeah, they have speared Marty.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week. The opening theme song was the Hercules theme song written by Hunter. This closing one is John Thorpe. If you have your own questions, your own theme song, send them all to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Right after the theme song is going to be a little teaser, a taster of the Buckets podcast that I did with Ben Schwartz. So hopefully you guys enjoy that. And listen to that, and listen to D&D, and listen to other stuff, and we'll be back next week. Ciao for now.
Peace.
ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. It's a podcast by the dudes on HeadGum. So we mail in to Jake and Amir. They'll put you on blast and maybe
it's a podcast. It's out every Monday. ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. It's a game, boy.
So we mail in.
Picks a word at random. Picks a word at random. And that's how they choose. And if I were you, I would send my questions into these dudes. If I were you, and they'll tell you what they would do. ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. 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 ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com.
Fuck you, Justin.
This is the game. We keep going until... You're not allowed to name... Okay, 10 seconds per player.
Yep.
You're not allowed to name the same player
twice.
10 seconds?
I think we got to go like boom, boom, name.
Okay, Patrick Ewing.
Boom, boom, name. Boom, boom, John Starks.
You already missed.
Boom, boom.
You already missed.
All right, start over.
You ready? Ready? Boom, boom, name. And this game is going to be called boom, boom, name.
Okay.
Now, every time we snap, you have to say a name. I'm going to go first, starting Patrick Ewing.
Chris Dudley.
John Starks.
Charlie Ward.
Chris Childs.
Hubert Davis.
Kristaps Porzingis.
Kevin Knox.
Joaquin Noah.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix.
This is a lot of pressure. Steve Novak.
Charles Smith.
Charles Oakley.
Derek Harper.
Anthony Mason.
Xavier McDaniel. I love
Fuck,
it.
Fuck, I lost it.
It's hard. It's hard. It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it is a lot of pressure.
Guys. Let's sing the bucket song to go out. Here it comes.
Ready?
Buckets! I'm getting buckets, 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 bucket, a 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 bucket. Now Amir says!
Thanks for listening, everybody.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening. We'll see you at the show or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live and we'll see you there.
All right. Bye.